Coming to Acts chapter 4 tonight, just going to read one verse. I'm glad that Nigel mentioned in his opening prayer the simplicity of the gospel. I want to speak tonight about sophisticated simplicity. Acts chapter 4, I'm just going to read one verse, but I will be referring to other scriptures. If you're at home and you have a copy of the Word of God with you, do try to follow with us. If not, don't worry, we'll take you along this evening, and we trust the Lord again will speak into your heart and encourage you wherever you are this evening. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. This is a verse that many of you know about, will know by heart. A well-known verse of Scripture. A verse that encapsulates the glorious gospel of our glorious Savior. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me read that again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we do trust that the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. I remember when the first fax machine came out. Now, fax machines really are defunct now. There's not too many people use them, but I remember being amazed that you could take something and put it into a fax machine and an exact copy would print up wherever you happened to send that message. It was something that I couldn't understand. I still wouldn't understand. How would something like that work? But it worked. It was very simple to work. We could say it was sophisticated simplicity. Now we've moved on from fax machines. We're into all sorts of things now that many of us can't get our heads around. Even this broadcast tonight, to think that we can stand here in Points Pass in County Down and we can just broadcast right throughout the world. And people can watch us live from this lovely part of the country. Many things that we really don't understand. And we see now that there's going to be a thing called a self-drive car. Cars that drive themselves. I just can't understand. I can't imagine sitting in a car that drives itself. I think it would be like taking your son or your daughter out for their first driving lesson when you're sitting there. Surely you'll have a hole in the floor of the car when you'll be trying to brake and clutch and trying to do everything. I just cannot get my head around a vehicle that can drive itself. Tonight we've come to this verse of Scripture. A verse that is sophisticated because it gives us the path to eternal life. Your life tonight can change from death to life. You can go from being hell-bound to being heaven-bound. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. What an amazing miracle could take place tonight. We can't understand how that we can be changed. And yet it's so simple tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a privilege it is for you tonight, not to listen to me, whether you're listening tonight or listening later on. What a privilege to be able to listen to a text of Scripture like this. You know, in the time in which Peter first preached this text of Scripture, I wonder, did they really appreciate the message that he was bringing? I want to give you a little bit of the background of it here. And to do that, we need to go in to Acts chapter 3 and just follow the story until we get to this glorious text of Scripture this evening, because there's a story behind your life tonight. You have been brought to this point. If you're listening live this evening, where you're sitting under the sound of the gospel, whatever the circumstances happen to be, and maybe someone has handed you a CD of this meeting. Or perhaps you have downloaded this message, you were searching the internet and God has directed you to this message and you're not saved. And there's a story tonight how this message came into your hearing, just like how this message would come to the hearing of those who first heard it. I want to talk about the core first of all. Look at Acts 3 verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Peter, you know, was an amazing character. He was a character who would put his foot in his mouth. Sometimes Peter would speak now and think later. That was his temperament. And then you have John. John would appear to be a quieter fellow, more of a thinker. Someone who was leaning on the very bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet these two men, different temperaments, different backgrounds to a certain extent, and yet here they are, and they're coming up together to pray. That's the glorious thing that only the gospel can do. The gospel can take you tonight, no matter about your background, no matter about your temperament, whether you are rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow, makes no difference this evening. Whatever your background tonight, the gospel can change you and bring you into the family of God. And what an amazing family it is. The gospel brings all sorts of people together. Truly, there's nothing like it in the world. And here are Peter and John, and they're going up to the prayer meeting. And I want to talk about prayer for you this evening. I can assure you tonight, as you listen to this message, someone was praying for you. Someone was praying for you. Praying that God would move in a wonderful way. Indeed, Nigel has been praying at the beginning of our meeting that those without Christ who are listening would come under conviction of sin and would be moved to such an extent they would cry out to God for mercy and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a privilege. What a privilege for you to be prayed for. Someone is praying for you. That's why you're listening to this message. That's why the Lord has brought you to this point where He wants to speak to you about this great text of Scripture. You see the core tonight. This is not happening by chance. You see the circumstances. Say in chapter 3, look at verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And here is a man we come across. Remember, Peter and John are heading into the temple, and this man is lying at the gate. We read about his birth. We read that from his mother's womb he was lame. This was a condition that he'd been born with. We see that he's begging. He's there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There would be no benefits, no social security. There'd be no support for this man. All he could do was beg. And so you can see his birth, you can see his begging, and then you see something beautiful. Verse 2 again. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they led at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Here's the beautiful gates. How ornate they must have looked. How rich they must have been. How expensive they must have been. And you know, it's a little bit like religion. And here's this man, and he's born this way, he's begging, and he's at this beautiful gate. But you know, this beautiful gate could do nothing for this man. All the religion in the world couldn't change this man. Now let me apply it very quickly and very simply this evening. This man is like you and I because we were born in sin. David said in Psalm 51 verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's difficult for some people to believe. I have two grandchildren born last year, born in the midst of this COVID epidemic. And you know, I have to remind them that they're born in sin. They're born in sin. They're sinners. And they need Christ if they're ever going to be in God's heaven. They may be good fun, but listen, like all of us, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you know, without Christ, we're not only born in sin, but we're beggars. We deserve absolutely nothing. There's nothing in me that would merit God's wonderful salvation. We have nothing to give, nothing in my hand I bring. I have nothing to give to the Lord Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we were born sinners. We are beggars. And you see, all that religion had to offer. Maybe you've tried it. Maybe you've tried this place and tried that place. And you've tried this sacrament and that sacrament. And you've joined this organization and some other organization. But you know in your heart, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You see the birth, you see the begging, you see the beautiful gift. But here comes the best. Look again in Acts 3 verses 4 to 7. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, remember this is the man who was lame, with John said, Look on us. You know, that's a wonderful thing to be able to say. And could I say to the believers this evening, can you honestly say, Look on us? Could you say to a sinner tonight, Look at my life. Look at how I live for Christ. Look how I love the Lord. Look at my testimony. Peter and John felt confident enough to say that. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This man is expecting to get some money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. You know, Peter and John told this man about the best news he would ever hear. They told him about Jesus. Told him about our Savior. And what a miracle ensued. This man's life would be changed. He would never be the same again. He's walking and leaping and praising God. This is a miracle. Remember what I said. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, before this message was delivered, a miracle took place. Let me say to you tonight, there's been a miracle took place before you have had the opportunity to listen to this message. Let me explain. Maybe you're sitting at home tonight with mum and dad. And mum and dad are saved by the grace of God. There was a miracle in their lives. That's why tonight you're sitting listening to this gospel message. There was a miracle. And maybe it's an unsaved husband or an unsaved wife. Maybe a believer has given you a CD of this meeting and said, "Have a listen to that when you're driving through the countryside or you're traveling somewhere." And you see, because a miracle took place in their life, there was a time when they realized they were sinners, they were saved by the grace of God, and it was a miracle. I want to set the scene before I bring you to this simple text of Scripture this evening. Sophisticated simplicity tonight. And maybe you can identify already with what we've been saying in this meeting so far. I want to tell you that nothing happens by chance. God is in control. And God has deemed it that you would listen to this message. Here's what happens in Acts 3 verse 8. "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." What a change was wrought in this man's life. Have you seen the change in someone's life? Oh, you don't talk much about it. You've never said anything to them about it. But maybe you work with them. Maybe you live with them. But Christ has made a difference in their life. They've got something that you don't have. There's something special. Something that money cannot buy. They've got a peace that passes all understanding. They've got a joy that nobody can take from them. It's not depending on circumstances or happenings. It's not happiness. It's a deep See the joy that the Lord has given unto them. And the joy of the Lord is their strength. And you look at them and you see how they live. And there's something special about them. Even during this pandemic. You've been worried sick. But they seem to be cool and calm. And able to handle the situation. Because they've got something special in their lives. They've got someone special in their lives. They've got Jesus Christ. And He makes all the difference in the world. Verse 12 in Acts 3. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look on so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?'" Peter's going to use the opportunity to share the gospel. You see the core. It began with a prayer meeting. You see the circumstances, a miracle. You see the conflict. Now we're coming into chapter 4. You see there are some not happy. Let me say to you, if you have a desire to come to Christ, not everyone will be rejoicing. Not everyone will be glad. And there's an old enemy out there called the devil. He doesn't want you to get saved. And he doesn't care who he uses to keep you from coming to Christ. Look at Acts 4 verse 1. "And as they speak unto the people," and this is Peter and John, they're sharing the message, "the priests and captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Verse 2, look at the response. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." These men are furious that the gospel is being preached. The old devil, he's not happy. Wouldn't you think these men would be delighted to see a lame man walk and to see his life changed? But no, they're furious. Indeed, they're grieved. Do you remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4? "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And here's a conflict. And the devil wants to blind your mind. And you know, he's doing a great job. That's why you're not saved tonight. That's why you've never come to Christ. He's blinded your mind. He doesn't want you to fully understand your need of a Savior and your need to be born again. I wonder, even getting you to sit down tonight and listen to this, I wonder, was there a battle in home? Maybe a young person and your mum or dad had to twist your arm to get you off the PlayStation, to get you to sit down and just take a few moments to listen to the gospel. There's been a battle to get you here. There's been a conflict because the old devil doesn't want you to hear this message this evening. You know, they take it a step further. Look at verse 3. "And these are the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the rulers of the country. They laid hands on them," that's Peter and John, "and put them in hold," that is, they put them in prison, "unto the next day, for it was now eventide." And here are these two men, and they're thrown into prison because the devil doesn't want people to hear the gospel. You know, the Lord Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed, and how some fell by the wayside, and some fell among thorns, and some fell on good ground. And here's the Lord's own interpretation. Look at verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts." And here is what the Lord said: "Lest they should believe and be saved." You may not think that you could get saved tonight listening to this message, but the devil believes that you could get saved. And in order to stop you getting saved, he comes along and he steals the word of God before it falls on good ground. He will distract you. He will try to steal some thoughts so that you'll not think about the things that are important, because he believes that you could be saved. Do you believe it tonight? Do you know you could get saved tonight? I love verse 4. Remember, these two men are in prison. They've preached the gospel already. But look at verse 4, chapter 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." Oh, God's still in the throne. No matter what the devil would try to do, God was still in the throne. And were those who heard, there were those who were believed. And the number of them was about 5,000. Now look at verse 5. We're into the next day after a night in prison. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst of them, these two men, 'By what power, by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole.'" And Peter's ready to tell them how. Verse 10, "Be it known unto you all, and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." You see what Peter's doing? God's getting the glory. Listen, if you're going to get saved tonight, it's not going to be Punch Pass Baptist Church that will save you. It's not going to be Ian Wilson. It's going to be Christ and Christ alone. You see the core, the prayer meeting, you see the circumstances. There was a miracle. Has there been a miracle in your family? A miracle among your friends, and God has been speaking to you? You see the conflict. Has there been a battle going on? A battle for your very soul? You see the cost here as Peter lays out the gospel before them, before he comes to deliver one of these greatest texts of Scripture. Look at verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man here stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And here, Peter talks about the crucifixion, whom you crucified. You know, we can't preach the gospel unless we get to the cross. And Peter takes him to the cross, "whom ye crucified." You know, Christ had to die in order for you to be saved. I say it reverently, I say it graciously. His love for you could never save you. He had to go to Calvary, and the precious blood had to be shed. Jesus Christ had to be crucified. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. It was love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree with pierced hands and feet inside for you and for me. Yes, salvation is free to you. But it cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything as he shed his precious blood on that center cross. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. But listen, he didn't stay on the cross. And he didn't stay in the tomb. Look again at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, praise God, up from the grave he arose. And Jesus Christ is alive tonight. He was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. Christ died and was buried and rose again. And tonight he can be your Saviour. And because he lives, if you put your faith and trust in him, you will have eternal life. And you'll spend eternity with Christ. Do you see the cost? You see the core. There was a prayer meeting. Someone has been praying for you. You see the circumstances, the miracle. Who is it that's saved by the grace of God that has led to you listening to this text of Scripture this evening, just like those in Peter's day? You see the conflict. Have you been in a conflict? Has there been trouble to get you even to listen tonight? Has the old devil been battling with you, telling you that you're too young to be saved, you're too old to be saved, you're too good to be saved, you're too bad to be saved? He doesn't matter what lie he tells. You see the cost. In order for you to be saved, Jesus Christ had to go to Calvary. This text of Scripture would mean nothing if it had not been for Calvary. You see not only the cost, you see the confidence, because Peter does what all good preachers should do. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He takes him to the word of God. Psalm 118 verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. You know, there is a legend among the Jews that when they were building Solomon's temple, that all the stones were the same shape, but there was this odd looking stone and they just rolled it away and they brought the stones and they built the temple and they discovered there was something missing. This stone that they needed to complete the building, it wasn't there. And they went back and they found the stone. This is some 7 years later. They found it had grown over. It was lying there. It was the stone that the builders rejected. And it became the head of the corner. And surely the picture is obvious this evening. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of man. Isn't that hard to believe? And Solomon, we're told, he is altogether lovely. How could they despise and reject someone so lovely this evening? And someone who loved them so much that they went to Calvary. How can you reject him this evening? You see, when Peter preached this message, he could preach it with confidence because he backed it up with the Word of God. And that's what I need to do this evening. I'm just setting the scene for this little text of Scripture tonight. You see the core and the circumstances, the conflict, the cost, the confidence. We could even talk about the care. You know, the same people that Peter was preaching to were those who nailed Christ to the cross. Peter could die for preaching a message like this. Why did he preach it? Because he cared. Why do we preach this tonight? Why is this building open? Why is this going out on air? Why do people take time to share the gospel? Because they care. Why has someone asked you to listen tonight? Because they care. Why did someone give you the CD? Why did someone ask you to download? Why? Because somebody cares about you. Somebody loves you tonight. You know, this brings us through to this wonderful text. Verse number 12. And I wanted to set the scene because I want you to appreciate the richness of what Christ is saying to you tonight, the richness of what Peter has to say about our Savior. You see, he talks about the sinner's only possibility. Neither is there salvation in any other. We live in a day when variety is the spice of life. People want to have choices, and it's no different when it comes to spiritual things. Surely there are many ways to get to heaven. One man said, when airports were open, I know it's difficult now, you know, if I want to go to New York from Belfast, I could then fly from Belfast. I could, you know, fly from Dublin. I could go to London. I could fly from London, and all these different ways, but they'll all bring me to New York. And someone said to him, listen, we're not talking about going to New York. We're talking about going to heaven. There's only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other. This is inclusive and yet it's exclusive. It's limited and it's unlimited. It's limited in that there's no way to get to heaven other than through the person of Jesus Christ. I am the door. Emphatically, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the only door. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's not two good shepherds. There's one good shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's dogmatic, but it's true. Neither is there salvation in any other. Do you remember what was told to Mary? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His very name means Savior. Through his name, neither is there salvation, for there is no other name. John says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name tonight. His name is how you can get to heaven. By forgetting about yourself. Forgetting about your church or your religion. Just realizing that it's Christ and Christ alone. You see the sinner's only possibility tonight. You see the sinner's only plea. It's only through his name. There just is no other way. You see the sinner's only place. Look at Acts 4:12 again. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's the sinner's only possibility. For there's none other name. That's the only plea. You can't come in your own name. And here's the sinner's only place. Under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Listen, it's when you're under heaven that you can be saved. If you were to die tonight and die without Christ, for you all opportunities gone. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. There's no one left on earth that somehow can work to earn your salvation when you leave this scene of time. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. If you're under earth tonight, listen, if you're alive tonight, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, remember the rich man who built the big barns? He says, I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord says, thou fool, this very night thy soul shall be required of thee. What if the Lord were to say, this is your last night on planet earth? This is your last opportunity. Because it's only available under heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men. Here's the sinner's only priority, whereby we must be saved. I remember a minister taking a funeral one day, and he says, I hate the word saved. Well, if you hate the word saved, you hate the Bible. Because here's the word in the Bible, we must be saved. You must be saved or you'll go to hell. It's simple tonight. You must be saved when you realize what Christ has done for you. You must be saved because you cannot save yourself. There's only one way. There's only one name. There's only one place. There's only one option for you tonight. We must be saved. Nothing else will do. No one else will do. Nothing will cleanse you from your sin tonight. You must be saved. What a glorious text of Scripture we have this evening. It's enough to change your life if you'll take a hold of it by faith tonight under the power of the Holy Spirit. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must be saved tonight because you're lost. We would love you to get saved tonight. We would love you to put your faith and trust in the risen Savior tonight. Sophisticated simplicity tonight. Oh, it's so complicated in one sense. How can God deal with this sin of mine? And yet it's so simple. Christ went to Calvary. He took our sin. He offers us His righteousness. And if you come by faith as a sinner to Jesus, repenting of your sin, you will be clothed in Christ's righteousness. And this book says you'll be accepted in the Beloved. I don't know. There may be places you're accepted and places you're not accepted. But if you come to Christ tonight, you'll be accepted in the Beloved. And one day you'll be admitted into glory. And so shalt thou ever be with the Lord. You know, this incoming week is budget week. I'm sure you're all excited and looking forward to the budget. The borrowings at the moment are estimated for the United Kingdom £394 billion. It's a record. It's a record amount of debt. How will they ever get it paid back? What taxes will have to go up? Who's going to have to pay for it? Will we ever get all of these billions ever paid back? I don't know. The biggest debt this world ever faced was the debt of sin. It was so huge that all the money in the world couldn't pay that debt. Indeed, the Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? All the world couldn't pay that debt. But Jesus Christ paid it all. When he went to Calvary, he paid that debt in full. And listen, you have nothing to pay tonight. You have nothing to do tonight. You have nothing to join tonight. Just come as a sinner to Jesus this evening. I can't finish with anything better than these words. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray.